For our basic tonight, we are going to be dealing with the obedient life. And at the very heart of the Christian's life and discipleship to Jesus Christ is the matter of obedience. From the very beginning, when God first created man in his image with the power of choice, obedience has been a real issue. When Eve disobeyed God, it was with the intent of becoming more like God. Satan said in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 5, "For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing both good and evil." Eve found out the hard way that when we disobey God, we don't become like him. We only become disobedient children. In Eve's attempt to defend herself before God, she said, "And the Lord said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled or tricked me, and I did eat." Satan certainly had deceived her with his lie. She had disobeyed what she knew was God's command, thinking that she would profit from her disobedience, but the exact opposite had happened. There was no profit at all, only loss. And tragically, Satan is still deceiving Christians today into thinking that there is something to be gained from their disobedience to God. And beloved, nothing could be further from the truth. A definition of obedience. Obedience is a willingness to be subject to the will of another. So for a Christian, this means that he is subject to the laws and the commandments of God. Now, many times people mistakenly assume that because God has given them the freedom of choice, that they may choose whether or not to obey. They think that if they are not in subjection to someone else, that they are independent. But this is not true. The choice we have is not whether we are going to obey someone, but whom we're going to obey. This is what Paul was talking about when he wrote to the Romans and he said, "Know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness." And just because God made us with the ability to choose does not mean that we are to be free moral agents. We have been created to obey, and we will therefore obey someone or something, whether it is for good or for evil. Now, Jesus Christ is the perfect example of one who obeyed implicitly the laws of God, because he said that he came to do his will. In John chapter 6 and verse 38, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Jesus said he did nothing of his own initiative. In John chapter 8 and verse 28, he said, "Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." And then Jesus was willing to pay any price or cost. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. and his obedience was without limit. In Philippians chapter 2, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And that's verse 8. In Jesus' lifetime, he was tested to the limits, but he remained obedient to God. Because of this kind of commitment, Satan was never able to trick nor deceive him as he had Eve. In Jesus' encounter with Satan, he was always delivered because he resisted the world and its attraction, the flesh and its appetites, and Satan and his lies. If Christ had just disobeyed once, he would not have been able to pay the penalty for our sin, for he himself would have been guilty and would have had to pay the penalty for his own. But he was that perfect sacrifice that was necessary so that he could atone for our sins. And Christ's victory over sin and death was intricately dependent upon his absolute obedience to the will of God. And again, this is the message of Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal life unto all them that obey him. Now, the importance of obedience. So often we sing the song, "Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." These lines express a basic truth about the victorious Christian life, that faith and obedience are two sides of the same coin, and you cannot have one without the other. Genuine faith in Jesus Christ always expresses itself in obedience to his commands. Obedience puts legs on our faith. It takes faith out of the theoretical and it puts it into the everyday fiber of our life. And simple obedience to what God says proves that we believe what he says and that we are willing to act upon it, whether or not it makes us popular with the world about us. In Hebrews chapter 11, the great chapter on faith, we see a consistent pattern in each of those verses where it says, by faith, and then somebody did something. In verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his own household. In verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out unto a place which he should afterwards receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. In verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. Verses 33 and 34, by faith, men subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Now, obedience is very important to God. In fact, it is of supreme importance, and it is far more, God is far more concerned with the internal obedience of our life as opposed to the external trappings of our Christian life. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Now that's a lesson that Saul never learned. And over in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Because our obedience is so important to God, he conditions many of his promises and blessings upon it. It is therefore expedient for us to obey, because God's hand of blessing is upon us when we do. Jesus said that those who hear and obey his words are like wise men who builds his house upon a sand, and he is blessed with both security and stability and safety, and whoever does not obey, his life ends with calamity. In Luke chapter 6, verses 47 through 49, whosoever cometh to me and hearken to my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the streams beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Remember when the children of Israel got ready to enter into the promised land, and God had Moses draw them into what we now know as the Mosaic covenant. And in that covenant, possession of the promised land was contingent upon their obedience to God. If they were disobedient, they would be driven out of the land and their enemies would possess it. But in a very real way, that's a picture of what the victorious Christian life is like. We are brought into the kingdom of God through rebirth, but we can only enjoy the blessings of God through obedience to his command. And many Christians, though they are on their way to heaven, fail to see God's reality and blessing in their life because of their disobedience to him. Now, obedience is vital to abiding in Christ. So often when people preach on John chapter 15, where it talks about abiding in Christ, people walk away and they say, well, but how do you abide? I know the importance of it, but how do you do it? And the bottom line to abiding in Christ is found in verse 10 of chapter 15 of John. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and have abided in his love. And the secret to abiding is obeying Christ. And abiding is extremely important, as that passage points out. Because in verse 4 it says, you cannot bear fruit without abiding. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in a vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. And then in verse 5 it says, you bear much fruit through abiding. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If we don't abide, we wither up. If a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 6. And then it assures answer prayer in verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, also, obedience makes us a blessing to other people. And this lesson comes out for us in Genesis chapter 22, verses 15 through 18. And the angel of the Lord called upon Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, behold, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sands upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And Abraham's obedience in this situation touched the heart of God in a significant way. And not only did God bless him, but he made him a blessing to the entire world. And beloved, when we obey Christ, we become a blessing to those about us, because they see in our life the possibility of a victorious Christian life. And if you think back to those people who have made a great spiritual impact in your own life, you will see that there was that quality that they obeyed God. Now, there are certain attitudes that we need to have towards obedience. And the first one has to do with a willingness. Our attitudes greatly determine the outcome of our obedience. The Pharisees were the masters of obedience to the law, but their attitudes and motives were wrong. They created God in their own image rather than allowing God to mold and create them in his image. And one of the attitudes that we have got to have is a willingness to obey. In Psalms chapter 40 in verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. But there was a willingness to do, and then there must be a wholeheartedness. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments, and thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. And this is in Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 16. And then we're taught over in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7, when God commanded Joshua, he said, be courageous. Be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant command thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And then there must be a promptness. And this is what Psalms 119, verse 60, I make haste and delay not to keep thy commandments. And then there must also be a humility. Likewise, ye youngers, be subject yourselves unto the elders. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Now, if we have those kinds of attitudes, there are certain promises and blessings of obedience. And the Bible is the story of the promises and the blessings of obedience and the tragedy of disobedience. And a few of these promises are listed below. And as you read the scriptures from day to day, you're going to find others, but one of them has to do with provision. And it shall come to pass that ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thy oil, and I will send grass in thy fields for the cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. God provides for us. And then there is answer to prayer. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And then there is a stability and a peace. But whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell in safety and shall be quiet from fear of evil. And then there is that growth in godliness, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart and fervently. So those are some of the blessings that come through obedience. Now, as we talk about this whole matter of obeying, who are we to obey? And the scriptures give us specific instruction that we are to be subject to other people whom God has placed in an authority structure over us, and we cannot obey God without obeying those people that he has placed over us for our protection. And some of these authorities, first of all, are spiritual leaders. Remember that when we have the rule over you, who has spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith followeth, considering the end of their conversation. Who has spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith followeth, and consider the end of their conversation. And that has to do with spiritual leaders. And then we have governmental leaders there. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And this is Romans 13, verse 1. And then we are to obey our parents in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And then there is that master. Employers, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye servant as men pleasers, but as the servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not unto men. And then the last that has to do with wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So not only are we to be in subjection to God, but God is also place certain people in positions of authority, and the Scripture says that we are to obey them. And with the obeying of them, as they lead us to God, there comes great blessing from or to our own lives. And we have talked the week before about the victorious Christian life. And to be victorious is to obey, and to be defeated is to disobey. And God places a very high premium, as we have seen as we look through the lesson, upon obedience.